Well, we can speak now to Israel's ambassador to the United Kingdom, that is CP Hotabelli. Thank you very much for being on the
show. Good evening, Sophie.
We've just seen some really devastating footage of a man who's lost his family, of a baby being pulled from the rubble. Figures, according to the health ministry run by Hamas, say that more than 400 people were killed in airstrikes by Israel this week. What is your response to that?
I share this sadness that I see on your face about the human tragedy that Hamas is creating. Hamas is has the direct fault for this. You need to understand, Israel never targets civilians. And we're in a point where Hamas uses these people as human shields, as you all know, and it's doing it in the most cynical way to make sure you will report it in Sky News, to make sure that Israel will look like it's harming civilians when we never harm civilians.
I agree with you that Hamas is a terrorist organisation. I agree that Hamas murdered, raped innocent people. And I agree that Hamas, I'm sure, sometimes uses civilians as human shields. But I'm not doing an interview with Hamas. I'm doing an interview with the Israeli ambassador. And so it is right for me to talk to you about Israel's actions and what has happened. So what is your response? That's the question. What is your response?
So I'm giving you the most clear answer. We got into a situation where Hamas breached the ceasefire, stopped releasing our hostages. You were talking about a person that lost his family. Let me tell you about another person who lost his family in the hands of Hamas. His name is Eli Sharabi. Eli Sharabi was delivering the most moving and, in a way, the most shocking speech in the UN today. He was speaking about his horrific experience in captivity in the hands of those terrorists. He said, I was treated worse than an animal. I had to beg for food, and I had to beg to use the bathroom. And then he said, I saw as an eyewitness that when the humanitarian aid got in, it was getting into the tunnels, and UN and UNRWA labels were getting into the tunnels to those terrorists. Dozens and dozens of boxes. This is eyewitness that is speaking about the horrors that those terrorists are creating, both to Israelis and to Palestinians. And this is my point.
In no way.
Hamas cannot control the Gaza Strip if we want a better future.
In no way am I trying to lessen, denigrate the experience of the hostages. I've done a lot of work talking to hostage families doing this. But today, I want to talk to you about the people who are losing their lives in Gaza. You say that Hamas broke the ceasefire.
Right.
But Hamas released all of the hostages that was agreed in phase one. Phase two has not begun yet. So how has Hamas broken the ceasefire?
Let's get the facts
right. Because some people would say that it's Israel that's broken the ceasefire by the airstrikes and also by the limited ground operation that you were doing in an area that you were not supposed to be in.
Let's get the facts right. We had an agreement leaded by American envoy Witkoff. The agreement was very simple. 42 days for the first phase. At the 1st of March, this phase was over. So Israel agreed to continue the ceasefire, just in one condition.
Please let me finish, because
people don't get the framework that we were working on. The framework was very clear. Hamas must release hostages in every single week. We waited 3 weeks. We waited 3 weeks with no hostages being released. Do you expect Israel to sit and do nothing when 59 people from our people are dying there in the tunnels? Do you expect Israel to do nothing?
That's absolutely not.
But
my confusion here is, right, phase one ended, as you said. Hamas released all of those hostages. I accept some of them were dead. Some of them were in awful conditions. I completely accept that.
We all remember the Bibas family funeral that was devastating.
They released the hostages that were agreed in phase one. The original deal was then that phase two would begin, which Israel has not accepted. Israel wants to continue with phase one. So
some
would say that you have reneged on the original deal, that it was Israel who's reneged on that original deal and not Hamas.
Sophie, as I said again, Israel wanted to do a long ceasefire just for one reason. We don't want to fight. This is our brothers.
But phase two
and
is
our
about
sons.
With the permanent withdrawal,
Sophie,
and the release of
Sophie,
all the hostages.
Listen to me.
If I got this wrong, am I?
Yes.
But I don't.
Yes, you're getting it wrong
because you don't
understand the agreement.
Agreement was phase one, which has been completed,
finished at 1st of March,
moving into phase two, and you And the US, I agree, had trying to continue
the phases
phase
included,
one, but that was not the original agreement.
The phases included releasing hostages. It didn't happen. Hamas breached the agreement. It's so simple. There is nothing here not
Hamas
to understand.
Hamas released all of the hostages that were agreed in phase one. And
as
phase
I
two
said,
has not started.
No, that wasn't the deal. Witkoff said, we will extend the ceasefire if Hamas will release hostages. I'm sure you remember that. And then that was the point where Hamas breached the agreement by not releasing the hostages. Basically, Hamas is not releasing hostages anymore. He's refusing to his part in the deal. And this is why Hamas breached the deal. And Israel has no other choice rather than putting pressure on a terror organization. We are not dealing with nice British government. We are dealing with terrorists. We are not dealing with civilized people. We are dealing with people that brutally murdered more than 2,000 Israelis throughout the years. So we're talking about people that don't care about the life of the hostages or the life of the Palestinians in Gaza. So if you want the suffer to finish, all we need to do, both of us, is to say Hamas must release all the 59 hostages. This is the only way out of the circle. There is no way out if Israel would just sit there, do nothing, and then magic will happen. There is no magic.
Well, phase two was that was the framework to get to the situation that you have. But I just want to read a statement from the Hostages and Missing Families Forum, because this is something, a point that can be made much more powerfully than me. They say that the Israeli government is choosing to give up the lives of the hostages. We are horrified, furious, and scared by the intentional shattering of the process of returning our loved ones from the terrible Hamas captivity. The return of fighting before the return of the last hostage will cost us the 59 hostages who are still in Gaza.
You have no idea how much I understand. If I was in their shoes, I would have done anything to bring back my loved ones. And more than that, we as embassy, this is our top priority to make sure the hostages issue will be a top priority for any government in the world. Everyone must
pressure. But they don't think it is.
They don't think it is.
They don't understand why you have resumed the fighting when all of the evidence shows that the vast majority of hostages has been released.
So I will speak from the bottom of my heart to those dear families that I love, and nothing is more important to this government than releasing the hostages and making sure Hamas won't control the Gaza Strip. There is no other way rather than pressure.
They disagree. They say that is a complete misdirection because, in their words, military pressure endangers hostages and soldiers. And we've seen it. 3 Israelis hostages killed by the action.
So let me just remind you that the only hostages deals that we managed to get from Hamas was under severe military pressure. It didn't just happen. And I also want to remind everyone that when Trump got into the White House, he said unless the hostages will be released, then Hamas will really have to suffer hell from the way he looked at it as a must-happen thing, that all the hostages must be released. So this didn't happen just because we did nothing. It happened thanks to the fact we were fighting for so many days and Hamas understood that pressure and more pressure will make him lose his control on the Gaza Strip.
You talked there about what Donald Trump said, and I just want to talk to you about what the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has said. He said, Hamas has already felt the blow of our arm in the last 24 hours. I want to assure you, this is just the beginning. The Defence Minister, Israel Katz, has threatened to open the gates of hell in Gaza if hostages are not released. What does that look like?
Oh, I think it can look very calm if the hostages will be released.
No, they're talking about opening the gates of hell. They're saying that the footage that we've seen of babies being pulled from rubble is just the beginning. So I'm asking you, What does this look like?
No, just reminding you, it can finish today.
What does opening the gates in hell
but
and Gaza
why you
mean?
Think about the bad option when there is a good option? There is a good option here. If everyone in the world will say it's unacceptable, Hamas must release the Israeli hostages, and there is no option for Hamas to keep on controlling the Gaza Strip after the 7th of October. They cannot control this place. Israel cannot have this terror organization on its doorstep. Then we'll be in a different place. I mean, I think we identify right what we want to see. We want to see thriving Palestinian people. We want to see thriving Israel. It cannot happen with Hamas.
When you look at the devastation, when you look at the words of allies like the United Kingdom who criticised Israel recently, do you ever have moments of self-doubt and think maybe you were doing exactly what the Hamas terrorists wanted you to do when they responding exactly in the way they wanted you to do when they did what they did on October the 7th? They want to destroy Israel. They want to associate Israel with dead babies. And every dead baby that you see, that people witness, makes a world turn against Israel. Are you falling into Hamas's trap?
The opposite. I think that when I'm thinking about any Western country that went through a massive terror trauma, I'm thinking about Americans after October 7th. I'm thinking about Americans after September 11th, Israel after October 7th, the UK after different bombing. You had the Manchester Arena, you had the 7/7 attacks. Every life-willing country, every country that wants its people to be safe, has to make sure that the terror organization won't be a threat. This is why we're such a strong allies with the UK on defense and intelligence. We share so much to protect our people. And I think beyond the fact that we all want peace to our people and to our regions, I really think we do everything to eradicate the radicals. And this is the time to say, you cannot have peace without eradicating the radicals. And we must do that. And Hamas has proven to the world, as just like the British inquiry, the incredible parliamentary inquiry that Professor Andrew Roberts was leading this week in Parliament, was showing Hamas is one of those terror groups will be reminded down in history as the one that did one of the most barbaric attacks, and by the way, that killed most British people in a terror attack than you had in other British attacks here in London. So I think this devastating fact that Parliament was bringing to the table, the fact that so many Israelis were really trying to ignore the fact there is a terror organization out there. And we said, we just want you to live in peace. We want to live in peace and you will live in peace. It just doesn't work. If there is a radical force want to eliminate Israel, to destroy Israel, this is a serious problem, both to Israel and to Western countries, and we need to fight it.
Can I ask you just finally on the UK response? Today, the Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, said it's difficult to see how denying humanitarian assistance to a civilian population can be compatible with international law. I mean, he's choosing his words carefully, but he clearly thinks you've broken international law.
So let me just say a very important fact. 25,000 trucks were getting into Gaza just during the ceasefire. We're talking about just through a very, very short time. Israel delivered humanitarian aid.
What's your reaction to David Lammy's?
So my answer is, Israel stands with the humanitarian international law. Because if you know, the FIRF Convention, the Geneva Convention says very clearly that in a case where your enemy is using the humanitarian aid, looting it and diverting it to its own war machine, then you're not supposed to supply and sufficient and make sure that he won't get to fuel the war machine.
That's not what David Lammy thinks.
David Lammy should read this chapter because I don't mean David Lammy, because it's a legal thing. He's a foreign secretary. I'm sure he knows that fact. That as a matter of fact, Hamas is looting this humanitarian aid.
He thinks I know you're breaking international law. That's what he thinks.
And I'm saying again, we stand totally in line with international humanitarian law by doing that. We don't want to fuel Hamas war machine. And this is why we supplied Gaza with humanitarian aid throughout the war. We won't fuel Hamas. We will make sure that the Palestinians will have food, but Hamas won't have it. To loot it and to trade it and to empower itself and to regroup to make sure Israel will be under another 7th of October attack. We will never give that a hint.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.